Now, what would you do if you left your medication behind after fleeing a bushfire? As 94 bush and grass fires continue to burn across New South Wales, this could easily be a situation for many, many people. Researchers are calling for a change in pharmacist legislation that allow pharmacists to better help their patients during a disaster. A new study by Queensland's University of Technology has found outdated laws are preventing pharmacists from providing timely, effective treatment to displaced people during disasters. One such restriction, is the three-day emergency supply rule, which allows patients without a prescription in accordance with their state emergency supply provisions can receive 3 days supply of medication. But is 3 days really enough during a disaster? One expert says that it should be extended to up to 30 days. This morning, we are joined by that expert indeed, Dr. Caitlin Watson, Queensland University of Technology's Faculty of Health, School of Clinical Sciences. Caitlin, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Now, if someone has been displaced due to a bushfire and they've left their house in a rush, they don't have any of their vital medication or their Medicare card with them, let alone their prescriptions, what would they have to do in this situation? Could they go to a pharmacist and get an emergency fill of their prescription? What would that look like for them?
Yeah, so if they don't have their prescription with them or they don't have their medications with them, they either need to obtain a new prescription, whether they can get in contact with their GP if they're still open, or go to the emergency room to get a doctor to fill a prescription for them. The other option is that they can actually go to their regular pharmacy and ask their pharmacist for an emergency supply of their ongoing chronic disease medications.
And is this for all medication across the board, or do some restrictions placed on medications make it harder for people to be able to do this?
So the patient needs to be on the medication regularly. So it needs to be something that they're on all the time. And the pharmacist needs to do an assessment and make sure that that is the correct medication for them, including the dose and the strength. And then also make sure that it is an emergency and that they do need to supply it.
What legislative changes would you like to see to make this situation easier for people displaced by disasters like the bushfires that we're seeing at the moment?
Yeah, so I think that, and from the research that I've conducted, that three-day emergency supply rule could hopefully be temporarily extended to disasters for up to 30 days. So when that three-day emergency supply rule was originally introduced, it was never for disasters. It was actually to cover patients over weekends and public holidays when their GP may be closed.
Well, that makes a lot more sense than a weekend, a public holiday, but then all of a sudden we're seeing these really dire situations. Tell us a little bit about the legal barriers that pharmacists currently face in New South Wales and up in Queensland with these bushfires. What are we seeing affecting these individuals?
Yeah, so my research did look at a couple of different pieces of legislation, but the most important one that's affecting us at the moment is that access to chronic disease medications. So that 3 day supply is just not long enough. It can increase the psychological trauma for patients that have to keep coming into the pharmacy every 3 days to keep getting their medication supply. And also the other important thing to note is these emergency supplies are provided outside of our government subsidy medication scheme, the Pharmaceutical Benefit Scheme, the PBS, which means that a patient who might be a pensioner and usually gets their medications at a subsidised cost would then have to pay the full price because it's outside of this.
Wow. So instead of paying, $6.50 for a script, they could pay potentially thousands of dollars for their scripts.
Yeah, it's generally not quite 1,000, but depending on what the medication is, they would have to pay the full cost because the government's not subsidising that.
Goodness me.
And the other thing is a lot of patients, when they leave their home without their medications and prescriptions, they also leave without their money or they don't have access to cash. So power lines might be down or internet might be down, so FPOS don't work. So in this case, they also don't have money to pay for their medications. So typically pharmacies feel that they have a duty of care to these patients and will help them, but it's usually at their own cost and they aren't being reimbursed for this.
There seems to be also no current mechanisms in place for the reimbursement of pharmacies from local state government levels when they're supplying these essential services, but also things like we understand that some pharmacies give away like water or sanitary items or things that are really essential in these emergency situations, but that are really difficult to access otherwise.
Yeah, absolutely. So, patients typically, the research shows they don't leave with much. if they don't have an emergency kit set up beforehand. So they could be requiring formula if their baby's on formula, or sanitary products, as you mentioned, or, you know, anything that you can find in a pharmacy, toilet paper. All of these things pharmacies are typically giving out at the owner's cost sometimes because patients can't afford it, and there's no sort of reimbursement scheme to cover pharmacists for these essential services and products they're supplying.
And I feel like this would also potentially disproportionately affect rural communities where maybe access has been restricted, or access is a really, really access to services is quite far away. Have we found that that is the case, that rural communities are being more affected than urban communities when it comes to this three-day rule?
Yeah, so many communities and businesses are doing it really tough at the moment, and this includes the pharmacies. And so when these pharmacies and pharmacists are providing these services, sometimes at their own cost, it's not always financially viable for them, with some of them actually having to make the tough decision just to close during the disaster, which then leaves the community without that easy access to medication supplies. Or they run the risk of putting themselves out of business.
Gosh, why do you think there hasn't been a change to this 3-day supply rule and other restrictions as of yet? Why do you think that that we're still seeing this policy in place?
Yeah, I think it's the changes are coming. So the 3-day emergency supply rule was effective and is effective for what it was intended to do. But the research is showing that the impact of disasters on community, especially in terms of health services, lasts beyond the 3 days. So, you know, the research is only just starting to show the benefits that pharmacists can have in disasters and the roles that they could be undertaking. And this recent article that I've published was looking at comparing the different countries' legislative powers to sort of assist the pharmacists to support their communities.
It's really important work, and it's something that a lot of people don't consider when we're looking at what is happening around our state and around our country at the moment. Caitlin, unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it there, but thank you very much for your time this morning. Really appreciate
it. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
That was Dr. Caitlin Watson, Queensland University of Technology's Faculty of Health, School of Clinical Sciences. Big, long name for the university there, discussing the legal barriers of hindering pharmacists to providing timely and effective treatment to Australians affected by bushfires.